We're going to get into the Word and let you go home in a decent time, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. The helmet of salvation. Up here, you got all kind of helmets. You got a motorcycle helmet. Officers are here. If you ride a motorcycle, do guys, do you think this will save their life? It's a must. I went to Thailand. Number one killer in Thailand, motorcycle accidents. They got these mopeds, like 100 million of them. 100 million of them. And I wanted to take a ride. Me and Jake wanted to take a ride. Jake wanted to ride side saddle. I was like, "You're crazy! I won't even ride it regular, much less side saddle." And they don't even have any helmets. Lansing, Michigan, 2009. 32-year-old was skateboarding, slipped off the skateboard, no helmet, crushed his skull, dead. Skateboard accident. Contrast it with another person, a young girl, 11 years old, in Massachusetts, run over. A car ran over her arm, ran over her head. But she had a helmet on like this. And came away, the car rolled over her head and came at just a few bruises. Can I tell you, helmets are important? Does anybody understand how important a helmet is? I told you when I played football, freshman football, the helmet was too tight, it's very heavy, and I was just a little man, so I quit. I just quit. I didn't. But I wore the helmet, thank God, even to practice, because they would have killed me. It would have saved me. If you're a construction worker, you understand? You know, something can fall on your head and crush you. The head, to protect the head. Baseball, soccer, football, any other catcher's mitt, baseball. This is the one we're talking about today, the helmet of salvation. I rented this from ATC. It's a Roman soldier's helmet. I paid too much, $5, to show you this. But I want you to know, it looks something like that. It's the Roman soldier's helmet. And it was critical. It wasn't worn at all times. You know that. Just like the shield of faith we talked about last week. Chrissy, did you go in my office and get that little... I wanted her to come out with that sermon illustration. It's on the back of my desk. Gary gave... Let me use this shield and this awesome sword that I'll use next week. Powerful. Can't wait to get to the Word of God. Sword of the Spirit. Amen? But the shield of faith, we talked about it. You don't carry it all the time. You carry it when you get into battle. You keep it with you all the time. And you see officers when they have to get in a whole group of officers and go forward and try to... they put their shields together to protect each other. We talked about that last week. As a church, how many glad we can be together? That your shield takes care of this way. Does it benefit me at all? Try it. Just pull the trigger. See what happens. Pull the trigger, Chrissy. Keep pulling the trigger, Chrissy. You only got one. In the head. You got me in the head. Keep pulling the trigger, Chrissy. I didn't have a helmet on. Wait. Keep pulling the trigger. Are there any bullets in there? Oh, there we go. What's wrong with that thing? Defected. Oh, it's killing me. You hit me? There we go. Enough already. Thank you. You see, I got hit right in the head because I didn't have a helmet. I don't know of a better illustration to give you today. But thank you, Gary, for the shield and for the helmet. Thank you, Chrissy, for helping me. Silly illustration to let you know. Obviously, the helmet of salvation is important. Just like the shield would cover you. Now, remember, the breastplate was already on the body. It was a part of the dress. Put on the whole armor of God, right? So that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But remember, we had the last three was the shield and the helmet and the sword. Those were not on you all day, but you had to keep by you, right? They were not permanent, but very necessary. So let's look at it today, lesson 5, and take the helmet of salvation. I'm out of breath, fighting the darts of the enemy over there. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want you to look at 1 Peter 1:13. So prepare your minds. Obviously, the helmet is to protect your head, your mind, your brain. And on this helmet, the soldier's helmet, it had kind of the back part took care of the neck. Very serious if you come with a blow to the back of the neck, right? Your spinal cord. Also, it had these side cheeks to protect your cheeks and the shield to cover your eyes. Okay, and this little feathery-looking thing. I'll share that with you in a minute about what that means too. But I want you to see this. So prepare your minds for action. Be completely sober in spirit, steadfast, self-disciplined, spiritually and morally alert. Fix your hope. Somebody say hope. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God that is coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. The helm of salvation, basically, salvation's tied to that. He's called it the helmet of salvation because it's salvation that's going to help us to have the victory. It's salvation that the enemy is coming against for you and for me. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:8. But since we, believers, belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope and confident assurance of salvation. So again, it puts hope there. As the helmet. The helmet is the hope we have in our salvation. This helmet is not the saving salvation, the receiving salvation. Listen, before you ever put on the armor, you already are a soldier. I believe Paul's talking to believers, okay? To believers, put on. So he's not talking about when you get in the battle, put on the armor. How many know it's too late? If you are not saved and you try to fight a devil, how many are you going to lose? You already lost before the battle started. He's talking to believers who already received. He's talking about remembering the salvation you have already received. So it's not receiving salvation. It's remembering salvation. This is the hope of salvation. The joy of our salvation. How many know you ought to be happy if you're saved? In children's church, they said, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. This is the joy that we have in the Lord. It's something that we should hold tightly to. What does it look like? Well, I showed you just a little bit at salvation, the different bronze or metal. See the soldier in the camp there, that's Caesar's army. The soldier sitting down having a cup of soup. His helmet is down on the ground by him. Why? Because he's not in the middle of the battle. So you keep your helmet with you. You keep your shield with you. You keep your sword with you. In the sheath, right, or close by, but he's resting. He's not, and he's got the shield there. He's got everything, but it's on the side because he's not in the battle. But when put on the helmet of salvation, when you get ready to warfare, you put on the helmet because if you're ready to ride a bike, you put it on. If you're going to play the game, you're going to put it on. If you're going to get and be a believer, you got to put on the armor of God. And I want you to know, every day when you wake up as a believer, you better put on the helmet of salvation. Every day, because we have a real enemy that's firing darts at us and trying to kill us. It protects the head, the mind, the thought life. A vital part of our victory lies in our ability to think right. Satan messes, the battle is in the mind, right? And how many scripture verses are there that tells us to take up and remember that putting on this helmet of hope of salvation, it was important. It's called the galea, the Roman helmet was, and it means to circle the head. Make sure that you put a protection around your hope, around your brain, around your mind. Because listen, you also are protecting your ears, right? You're protecting your ears. How many's ever got hit in the head with a helmet on? So even with a helmet on, you can take a blow to the head. I know, because I played football, and just because you have a helmet doesn't mean they cannot ring the bell. Wayne and Dwayne Johnson, remember the fullback twin brothers I told you about? They came at me 90 to nothing. I had a helmet on. I had everything I could have on, but I still did a whole flip and landed on my back and woke up a little dazed. How many's ever had been serving the Lord long enough to have been punched by the devil? To have a little ringing in your ears and a little seeing a star or two. So even with all the protection, it doesn't mean you're not going to be in a battle. The fact that you actually put it on means you are in a battle, that you're in a war. So he was trying to help us as parts of the bronze helmet, the iron inner plate with a leather skull cap. Inside was soft to protect you on the inside. The beak around the neck, the metal band in the front for the eyes, the two hinged cheek pieces. The decorative feathers, I want to show you these feathers. They are not just to look pretty. These feathers were attached to a little ring on the top of the helmet. They didn't wear the feathers when they were fighting. The feathers were decorative to tell you who's in charge. So the decorated officers, the larger, you know, the higher he went in authority and a command, had these feathers. And like the picture I had showed you there. But when they get into war, they undo that little feather, put it in the backpack somewhere, and get to fighting. But when they began, before the combat started, the enemy could see you afar off. And they could see that the commander in chief is fighting with you. How many know the Lord is the one that puts on the armor of salvation? Isaiah speaks of a time where there was nobody to stand up for righteousness or true judgment. But in 59th chapter, verse 16, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto them, and his righteousness sustained them. Look at verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Isaiah 59. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Verse 18, according to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and the islands he will repay recompense. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against it. Come on now. When the enemy sees you getting ready to engage in battle, do you remember we told you this battle belongs to the Lord? He's the commander in chief. He's the one with the highest feathers. How many know this is not your battle? The battle belongs to the Lord. You're in the battle, but the victory has already been won. How many know the commander in chief already took care of it? If you're saved, it's because Jesus kept you saved. I said, he saved you, justified you by faith, right? He is saving you, sanctifying you now. He saved you in the past. He's saving you now. And how many know one of these days he's going to save us completely? So what he's talking about here is the helmet of salvation is the hope we have in our future. So the devil wants to get you in the war, in the battle right now. But can I tell you, your situation is taken care of because Jesus is the commander in chief. You remember when Joshua was in the battle going to Jericho and he was very aggressive. Joshua was a very aggressive soldier. He was equipped. He was ready and he was always ready to battle. How many have a personality that's aggressive? Anybody? Come on. How many warriors do we have in the house? You're ready to fight at the drop of a hat. Don't look at me like that. You know who you are. Strong-willed and ready to go. I wish we had more of you. Only one or two. How many know how to fight? Let me just ask it like that. No wonder I'm doing this series, guys. Not a one of them know how to fight. How many is not voting today? Because our city matters. I don't want anybody to see me. But here's the deal. If you're an aggressive leader, you got to be ready for battle. Your shoes on, your breastplate, your helmet, your sword, your shield, everything, the belt. You got to be ready because the battle is real. And there's a real enemy. He's shooting darts at you, right? And so he's striking at your head. He could knock you out. He could daze you. He could confuse you. He can do whatever he wants, right? But you're trying to protect your mind in regard to salvation. Satan always attacks what we know, and he attacks what we don't know. And sometimes we forget we are saved. Satan will come in when you have a battle and you're war-torn and you're tired and you're weary. How many know battles can go on for a long time? If you have a five-minute battle, you know, you can get over that. But how many know that when there's a long battle and you're engaged in fighting over and over and over again, you almost begin to think, you've got this. And like Joshua, he went into Jericho. Before he went into Jericho, he was ready for the next battle. And he came upon a man, the Bible says. But how many know he was more than a man? He was the one I was reading about this morning. How many know our commander-in-chief is more than a man? He's Jesus, the Lord of glory. And Joshua comes upon him with his sword drawn. He says, are you for us or are you against us? Now that's an aggressive leader. He went up to the Lord himself. Hey, are you for us or are you against us? Are you with me or are you not with me? He said, neither. It's not about you, me being with you, Joshua. It's about you being with me. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. When the enemy sees these feathers, they take note that somebody's there that can beat us. The Lord's the captain of the army, right? So obviously it means he wants to protect us and help us from him knocking our lights out, concussions, getting hit. And the helmet, you know, is a very critical. Doubt creeps in. Discouragement creeps in. And I think Paul's talking about this battle, and he gives us a few things today that we need to look at. Helmet of salvation, what does it do for you? Number one, it defends you from a hostile world. I mean, there's a real world out there. How many commercials per minute around the world, some 2,000 commercials a day that hit you like darts? And many of them, you can't even flip through the channel because many of them are provocative. And is anybody in the house today? Guys, last week they were shouting me down. I don't know where they are today, so just going to go with it. I'm going to preach it anyway. It's a very hostile world. Can you imagine our officers going out to take on the beat, get on the beat, without being equipped with shields and spray and or swords or guns? Or it'd be like suicide. And yet people in the church wake up every day and just walk out like there's nobody attacking them. Can I tell you, as soon as you got saved, you got on the hit list. As soon as you said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, you enlisted in the army, whether you like it or not. So if you don't want to get your head beat up every day, you might put on the hope of salvation. Amen? It defends you in a hostile world. It demolishes the strongholds of the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. I want you to see this. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or physical weapons of the flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful and destruction for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets us up against the true knowledge of God. We're taking up every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. It keeps us focused in the right direction. So the hope of salvation says, you know what? I might be in a battle today, but I'm saved. Is anybody here saved? You got to be saved and you got to know that you're saved. You can't have this kind of idea, I don't know. You know, I hear people a lot. It's just starting to bother me a lot. How many know when you can realize you're getting weary? One of the ways I realize I'm getting weary, people get on my nerves. How do you know when you're getting weary? When I'm getting weary, I got to spend more time with Jesus because people get on my nerves. And that's how I know. I can't change people. I've got to change me. But here's the deal. You got to refocus. You got to say to the enemy who's telling you you're not going to make it, you don't know me. How many know no weapon formed against me is going to prosper? When he tells you you're not going to make it, you got to tell him, I am a child of the living God. You got to speak back the way Jesus did. Because Satan is throwing darts. He's lying. He's deceiving. He's manipulating. He's trying to bring doubt into your heart that you're not saved. As soon as you give your heart to Jesus, he tells you you're not saved. As soon as you make one mistake, he tells you you're never going to make it. You're hopeless. And the devil's trick is to render your situation hopeless. The doctor calls you and tells you you got a spot here or there. You're dead. How many know the devil is a liar? No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. It doesn't mean you won't have people against you or things against you, but God is in your situation. And if God is in your situation, that's what God was trying to tell Joshua. Hey, the only reason you're winning this war is because Moses is praying for you. Sometimes you think you're such a good soldier that you're winning all by yourself. How many know there's no glory in your flesh? You will not win this in your own strength. Put on the helmet of salvation. That is the hope you have in him, not in you. You're weary, you're tired, but how many know the Lord's going to take care of you? He's the army. He's the shield. He is the helmet. He is all of these things. Sometimes strongholds come into our life. What is a stronghold? Well, a stronghold is a pattern or a habit, an area of your life that doesn't belong to God. How many, when you came to Jesus, you gave all of yourself to Jesus? One of you. I said, how many got all in when you gave your heart to Jesus? Yeah, that's the only way to do it. When you surrender, God forbid that I ever have to have an officer tell me, you know, put your hands up and I surrender. But if they did point the gun at me, I do surrender. I'm a chicken, okay? I surrender. How many know when the Lord asks for you and you give your heart to God, the best thing for you to do is say, I surrender. But so many times as believers, we will surrender some things to God and hold some things back from God. And we allow the enemy to have a foothold, a door, a crack to come into our mind or our emotion. That's why you got to put the armor on. You can't let the enemy get a lie in, an accusation in. You can't let him have an inch because he's always out to kill, to steal, destroy. So hope keeps us focused. It involves things that are invisible, eternal. It's located in the heavenlies. How many know this morning, in the first 2 minutes of this service, there was spiritual warfare going on? You might be clapping your hands and may think everything's well. How many know in the heavenlies, there's a war going on? This is for real. You can't see it, but there's warfare going on in the heavenlies. And we're so consumed by what we can see and do, even if we do grab the helmet and the sword. Look, oh, this is for real. My goodness. I'm not pulling that out. That's for real. We'll deal with the Word of God next week in a big way. I'm scared of it right now. The way I feel, I'm likely to cut myself with that thing. When you're in the middle of the battle, you might think you have it all. You got to figure it out. But the way God moved in your life last week may not be the way God moves in your life this week. You see, when Joshua saw the man he thought was a man, he couldn't recognize God because God came in a different form than he did last week. And so many times we fight. Religiosity is going around the same mountain like Moses did again and again and again and again. And Joshua, he already had fought that battle and won, and he fought this battle and won, and he thought he could do the same thing the same way. But he ran into Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm not. Can you think about the audacity of Joshua saying to Jesus, are you for me or are you for them? He asked God himself to take a side. Don't we all do that? Take a side. Why? Because we're always confronted, combative, and always wanting to fight the flesh. Can I tell you, the battle is not with flesh and blood. It's not the Democrats against the Republicans. Is anybody hearing me today? It's not these against those. It's not uptown against downtown. I mean, no, we are one people of God. And the enemy wants to divide us so he can conquer us. He wants to bring doubt. Nobody at that church is for me. I think I'm going to leave. I don't have anybody that loves me over there. I mean, no, the devil is a liar. He's trying to get you isolated and to get you alone so he can snuff you out by yourself because he knows he can't take us together. So when you're an army, not just the victory is not just one for you, it's one for all of us. And the victory is not just one, if you will put on the armor and fight, you could be fighting to save your family, to save your city. How many know we need to fight to save our schools? We need to fight to save our nation. We need to fight. And it's a battle of our life. But you can't go in unprepared. Strongholds come in. And you know, we have a tendency to look back. When you remove our helmet, we start looking backwards more than we do look forward. The hope of salvation is in the future. How many glad that he saved us in the past? And how many say he's still working on you now? I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. But I can't wait to see what I'm going to be. Is anybody moving forward with God? It's the hope of our salvation. You can't just concentrate on what you can see. You've got to start fighting in the invisible realm, what you cannot see. For the things that you see are temporary. So Satan knows if you get in a real battle, you feel like you're losing. But the power of prayer is what gives us the victory. You're dressed for battle. And you can do all the swinging and fighting you want to. You're still going to get a knock on the head. There's a real enemy. Now listen, not every preacher is going to preach it like this. Many preachers will tell you, you just put on the armor and everything just goes by you. Darts just go away and people go by. Nobody even touch. Just stand. How many know that's a lie? God took in a lot of hits. But one of these days, I'm going to stand with the commander in chief, Lord Jesus. And I'm going to peel off this armor. I'm going to say to him, Lord, I'm going to say, Lord, see this dent right here? Oh, that's when I got stabbed in the back by a preacher. Lord, help me. Have you ever felt like punching a preacher? Oh, I wish somebody would get real in here. There have been days where I thought, you a preacher? I'll make you a preacher. It's that Joshua spirit, you know. I'm going to kill somebody. You for me or you against me? Jesus said, don't make me choose sides. It's not about me being for you, Joshua. It's about you being for me. It's my war. It's my battle. And if you learn how to make me, put me in your situation, you'll win every time. Put on the helmet of salvation. Know that I saved you. You didn't save yourself. Know that I'm going to give the victory to you. I am the one who has on the helmet of salvation. I am your shield and your great reward. God has to be put in his right place. So he puts on the helmet of salvation and he goes in. The next thing he does is he says, take off your shoes, Joshua, for the place you're standing is holy ground. The first thing you got to do in a battle, you put on that helmet and put on your armor, is you got to put God in your situation. And then you got to worship God. He had to take his shoes off. Now listen, he was on the battlefield. He wasn't in the temple. Is anybody with me yet? Joshua's on the battlefield. He's not in the temple, yet he's in the presence of the Lord. Did you know that when you get in a real war with the commander-in-chief, you're in the presence of the Lord? And when the enemy sees the commander-in-chief, they already afraid before they ever start to attack you. You're in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I like to have somebody strong on my side. I said, I'm on the Lord's side, amen? I'm not asking the Lord to be on my side or their side or their. I said, Lord, I want to be on your side. I'm not saying, God, get a hold of my agenda and help me win this like this. I'm saying, God, please, I'm hopeless without you. In the middle of this fiery battle, I need you today. And so he gave him a strategy. Somebody say strategy. So now he's in the worshiping and he understands God is in the midst of his battle and he's worshiping at the foot of the Lord. Shoes are off. He's on holy ground. Not in the temple, right on the battlefield. He realizes that the Lord is the one. And then the God says, now that you worshiped me, I'm going to give you a strategy. How many know a strategy is better than anything you could ever get? You can have your own strategies and fall by the wayside and get knocked around, or you can get a word from the Lord. And Joshua got a word from the Lord. He said, I'll tell you what you do, son. Look at the darts everywhere. My, you were shooting me. He said, I'll tell you what you do, son. I got a strategy for you. How many this morning could use a strategy? I mean, we go around as though, you know, everything's just going to work out. But you have to have a strategy. You know what? We're leaving our kids a lot of stuff, but one thing we're not leaving them is a strategy. You can leave them money, but without a strategy, they don't know how to manage it. Could somebody help me out here? I know, because I've seen people win the lottery, hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars, and within 6 months, because they don't have a strategy, you lose your resources when you don't have a strategy. When you don't know where you've been, who you are, or where you're going, you lose hope. And the millionaire overnight is in the slums again the next day because their resources can't help them. Listen, our faith is not in the weaponry, especially this physical weaponry. It's in the spiritual warfare, the spiritual weaponry, the hope of our salvation. Listen, at the end of the day, you may be bruised. You may have dents in the armor. You may have been knocked in the head, a little scar or two on the neck. But at least you're there. How many want to make it all the way? Anybody? So here's what he did. He said, I want you to, now watch this, because doing it your way is different than doing it God's way. I want you to walk around Jericho every day. I want you to take a walk and then go home and rest. Joshua's like, wait a minute. Boys, got a strategy. All you got to do is put your helmet on. We're going to walk around Jericho every day. But Joshua, I mean, don't we have to fight? No, the Lord says, this is the strategy. Put your armor on. Walk around every day. At the end of the day, you go home and rest. Come back tomorrow. Put your armor on. Walk. I'm sure I can hear Joshua now. Lord, I don't know how in the world this is going to work. How many of you ever try to work out your own problems? Is anybody here ever try to tell God how you can fix it? Lord, if you will let me handle it, I can straighten these idiots out. It's 5 o'clock. Thursday. 5 o'clock. Friday. Saturday. But on the seventh day, Joshua, he got ready, put on his armor. He said, oh, yeah. Woo. I got this strategy. I'm going to walk. God said, nope, no, 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 no. No, no. Today the strategy is different. Can I tell you how to win in warfare battles? You got to be ready every day. You got to pray every day. You don't know when the Lord's going to change direction. To stay hopeful about your future means to not put all your energy in what you can do. Take the strategy from God. He's the one that saved you. How many things he can help you? He's the commander in chief. So today, he said, this is the last day, Joshua. On this day, you walk around seven times. Seven times. Seven times? Seven times. Well, I didn't think really one time did any good. Lord, don't you see them ridiculing me? They're shooting darts at me on the wall every day. They're making fun of us. Look at this, Lord. Your strategy is really, I don't think that great, God. How many ever tell God he don't know what he's doing? Don't look at me. How many of you ever look at God and say, this is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard? You want me to build a boat? It's never rained. But here I go. Walk again. Walk, walk, walk. This time I want you to walk seven times. Seven times in one day. Okay. Okay, Lord, the walking is done. Okay, Joshua, one more thing. At the seventh time, I want you to get all the people together and I want you to shout, really? Really, Lord? They're firing darts at us, weapons at us, pelting us in the head with rocks. They're beating us. This situation looks bad. They're killing us, God, and you want me to shout at the wall? You want me to shout at the wall of Jericho, where two and three chariots could cross along that wall so wide. And soldiers are there mocking us and trying to kill us. We're fighting for our life. And you want me to shout at the wall? He said, yes, Joshua, because with my strategy, something's about to break. How many know if you go with God's strategy and look into the invisible world, stop doing what you're doing on the physical world. How many know something's about to come down? Something's about to come down in your life. It's a new strategy. It's a new dimension. It's a new level. We need leaders. I said, we need warriors who are not afraid to dress up. It takes bravery to be on the front line. We need people who are aggressive and who are yet sensitive enough to listen to the strategy of God. And you start shouting now for the wall that doesn't seem like it's going to be penetrating at all. You shout before the walls come down. Before the walls come down. That sounds crazy. But if you're not careful, Satan will make you look back. Right? He will help you forget. If you're going to take the promised land, you're going to have to take Jericho. What I know is this morning before me, before you, there is a Jericho. There's a Jericho in front of you. It's a situation that looks absolutely helpless. And on your best, even Joshua, the best soldier there was on the front line, who had his own strategies, who couldn't even recognize God when he was there, thought he was man. How many know God is more than a man? You got to know who God is and put him in his right place of worship, and then he will give you a strategy, and then you can do warfare. Because if not, you will allow a stronghold. To look back is dangerous. Somebody say, don't look back. Lot's wife, she couldn't let go of her attachment to the world. So strongholds got a hold of her. Attachments to the past stopped her destiny in her future. Satan knows your future's better than your past. He knows that you have a place in heaven that God preserved for you. And he's going to allow anything he can to try to stop you and make you look back and tell you, that you're not going to make it. You know what? She died. She died a pillar of salt. Basically, she was a memory of purposelessness. She lost her purpose. Instead of looking forward in hope, she looked back to her attachments. You know, today we have a lot of compassion, and I love the lost, and I'm praying for every lost person in our town, for every wicked person that needs Jesus. But can I tell you, you can pray with them without feeling sorry for them and going back to them and coddling them. In the church today, we're coddling a lot of God's people. I wish y'all would help me preach. I'm going to preach it anyway till you come alive. I said, I'm going to preach to these bones until they come alive. We are coddling. I don't know if you know why you got into this battle in the first place, but if you don't know why, I got to tell you, this morning you got up, you got your clothes on, you got in your car, you drove all the way over here, you got out of your car, you went to Sunday school, you sat in here, and if you don't know why you did, you already are in trouble. Certainly you didn't come to see me. I didn't come just to see you. I love you, but how many know I came here to get in the presence of the Lord? Because I've got a battle to fight Monday. I wish somebody would help me here. There's a battle in front of me, and I need the presence of the Lord. If we coddle and cuddle you, if we start entertaining you, I'm here to entertain you. This is Branson on the strip. And then you get your feelings hurt. You say, I'm leaving. You know what? I can't do that. I can't do that. But in America, we've started commencing because we are so compassionate. We don't want to lose anybody. We want to tell them what they want to hear. I mean, no, this is a war. This is a war. This is not a... We're not here to coddle you and cuddle you. Oh, you're so awesome. You're so awesome. Thank you for coming. Oh, you've been here so long. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving. Thank you for serving. Thank you. Lord, you know what? If that was me, I would get tired. And if you don't know why you got up this morning to come to the house of the Lord, you're going to get tired too. Oh, I wish somebody would help me here. If you don't know why you're in this army, and if you don't know there's a battle in front of you, and you need to get in the presence of the chief, then you're going to quit. At the first sign of heat and exhaustion, the first time a blow comes to your head, you're going to see stars, and you're going to say like I did, I quit. I'm not playing no football. This hurts. I'm too little. But how many know this war, this battle is not a game. And I don't have a choice. I said I didn't get in this thing because of anything I did. And I'm not going to get out of this thing because of anything I did. I didn't hire myself into the army and I cannot quit. And I refuse to quit. I wish I had some warriors in here. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, nobody who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom. Nobody. And I don't know what you're going through today. I'm going to preach a little longer because it's a big, big day. And you can stay home and rest tonight if you can't come back. But I'm going to preach it anyway. Is that okay? We'll get you a picture. You can take a ride in the Corvette if they let you. But look at Colossians 3:1-4. Set your heart on things above where Christ is seated. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. That's the hope we have. Put on the helmet. Don't let Satan lie to you. It provides a willingness to live for God. You have to fight. Listen, I don't know if you had to be here. I had to come today. I have to get in the presence of the Lord every day. I know there's a target on my back. And if you don't know what you're in, and you don't know what you're fighting, and you don't know who you are, and especially if you don't know who he is, you're going to give up the fight. Satan will persuade you. He will convince you. He will tell you, this is not worth it. God, I thought you was for me, but you took my child away. The Lord, I thought you was for me, but you put a sickness on me. Lord, I thought you was for me, but my marriage is on the rocks. How many know the devil is a liar? He's messing with your mind. He's playing head games. So if he's going to play head games, you better protect your head. And then all the other targets and darts that are coming at your brain, God is trying to help you here. Behold now. Now. Somebody say now. 1 John 3:2-3. Now we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that. Here's the verses. Here's the key words in that verse. We know that. I want to ask you today, what is it that you know? What do you know? How many know that you know that you know you're going to heaven? Anybody here? I mean, there's no people here, I don't know, I really don't. If you're in an unquestionable place and a valley of indecision, you need to make an altar today and say, God, I need to solidify something in my life. I need to know that I'm saved. Because if I don't know it, Satan's going to convince me that it's not so. But if I know it, look at this. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about that. You know, we always ask God, purify me, Lord. Purify my mind. Purify. You know what? The Lord save you. You got to purify your own mind. Okay? There's this balance here between your responsibility of putting on the armor and God's sovereignty of taking care of the battle. You can't just show up and say, oh, God's got this. We know God's got this, but he's going to have you dress up and stand. And when you've done all you can to stand, stand. Because tomorrow you got a battle. Now, maybe everything's fine today for Oak Grove and you got no problems. But I want you to know it doesn't take but 1 second. Right behind Irma is Hugo. I said, right behind Harvey was Irma, and right behind Irma is Hugo. I wish somebody's hearing me. They just keep coming and coming. And even after Jesus was in the wilderness, the Bible says that the devil took off for a more opportune season. So if he's not messing with you today, doesn't mean he's not going to mess with you tomorrow. You got to have the whole armor of God. You got to have your mind needs to be strong. You have to renew your mind. And Paul said, hey, I beseech you, I beg you, brothers, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the least thing you can do. And that you put your brain, your mind, be renewed and transformed. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Put on that helmet. Renew your mind. Believe the word. Quote the word. Recite the word. Memorize the word. Fight the enemy with the truth. And so, God's going to provide a willingness for you to live. For you to fight. He'll give you courage. He'll give you courage. I've got one more. He'll preserve you in the heat of the battle. For he endured. How? Seeing him who is invisible. Joshua had to realize who it was. Hope comes through perseverance. He also protects us to help us to resist the enemy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord's going to raise a standard, Isaiah said. But you got to put on the helmet of salvation. You got to hope in God. You can't even hope. You can't even hope in church. You can't even hope in people. You know what? Some people will disappoint you. Even the best of people will disappoint you. But how many know the Lord? He will never disappoint you. And people you love might desert you and abandon you and leave you and hurt you. But how many know the Lord will never leave you or forsake you? He will always be with you right in the middle of the battle. He's in the midst of his church. He's in the midst of his army. And he's wearing those little feathers. And he's telling the devil, you better back off. That's my people. You better back off. That's mine. And you as the leader of your family, sir, you ought to say, you better back off my family. That's my family. How many know we got to get a little bit of fight in us? I said, we got to get a little bit of fight in us. Hope. The word hope in the Greek is alpo. Just like the dog food. So the next time you ladies go to the grocery store and you go down the dog food aisle and you see alpo, I want you to just do a dance and say, praise God. There's hope in Jesus Christ. Alpo. Look at this. Don't give up. Don't give up. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to God and his work. Because you know this, it's what you know, that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. How many thinks it's been worth it serving the Lord so far? How many know every battle you've been in, you know why you're in a battle? Because God's trying to teach you how to pray. You wouldn't pray as much. I've never seen someone pray like when they're in the heat of the battle. You're going through something and you need to see God in the middle of your situation. Because when you see God in it, you'll go down and worship in prayer. Otherwise, you think you got this. I got this. I took that one down. I took this one down. I can take this one down the same way. God may not show up. See, if you're a leader, you're going to go to another level in a new dimension. You're going to take new territories. So you need to experience God in a new way. You can't keep following that same old pattern and going through that same old motion. How many know the way God moved last week may be different than He moves this week? You have to have an up-to-date relationship. Nothing can move you. Right? Hope proclaims it. It's worth it. My favorite scripture, Chrissy, come back up, give him a little hope. My favorite scripture is Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary in the battle or in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you don't quit. 1 Peter 13:16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Remember when we talked about the whole armor of God and the long robe and the belt? They girded up the belt so they can run and fight in war. He's saying, gird up your mind. Tighten it up. Turn your neighbor and say, tighten up. Tighten up your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. Hey, when you did it yesterday, you were ignorant. How many know you can't stay ignorant forever? Somebody needs to help me preach this. Well, Pastor, the devil made me do it. No, the devil has been defeated. You did it on your own. You've been trying to find a victim mentality. If my daddy, you know, my daddy whipped me with a long belt. If my daddy wouldn't have whipped me, I'd do right, but my daddy whipped me. How many know you can't blame your daddy forever? You got to figure it out. You got to put on the whole armor of God. And as He is holy, you should live holy. The hopeful person makes himself pure before God. Makes himself pure before God. Some of you are caught in strongholds doing the same thing over and over again. And it keeps bringing guilt, condemnation, and slavery and bondage. You need victory. How many know God can deliver you? God can deliver you. But you have to be honest with God. You have to be honest with God. Weapons, they're formed against us. But God's word says they will not prosper. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to read this. It's an old letter from African pastors. It's an old letter. It's called Don't Quit. From James, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that. This is it. You know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Look at this. Pastors from Africa got together and wrote this. Letter from African pastors. They said this: people are unreasonable and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest people with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest people with the smallest ideas. Think big anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build it anyway. People really need help but may attack you if you help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you've got and they'll kick you in the teeth. Give them the best you've got anyway. I want you to see something today as we go to the altar. Sometimes you can get so combative, so many battles, fight so many battles that you're just accustomed to fighting. You'll fight yourself, you'll fight people you love, you'll fight everybody around you because you think that fighting is the way to win. How many know surrendering to God is the way to win? You want to win the battle belongs to the Lord. And if you'll come in and worship Him, how many know He'll take care of you? You have to recognize God in your situation, worship Him, and then get His strategy as to how that's going to work. And His strategy for tomorrow is going to be different than the strategy for yesterday. But in the end, how many know the Lord's going to win? Because we have this hope. That's why they call it the blessed hope. Would you lift your hands in the air and let's just thank the Lord for the revival that's coming, for the rapture that's coming, for the peace that's coming, for the victory that's coming. Some of you are about to go through a wall. Some of you might have to shout at the wall. That's still not looking like it's going to go anywhere. You're going to have to speak to it in the name of Jesus. You're going to have to get dressed and be prepared. Put God in the middle of your situation. And when you do, God will give you the victory. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, there are people here today who need you. Some that maybe have never come to know you as Lord and Savior. Today I invite them to get into a relationship with Jesus Christ. To put on the whole armor of God like the rest of the soldiers. If we're going to win, we're going to have to win together. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize that we can do nothing without you. That with you, we can do anything. And Lord, many are tired today. Many are weary. Many have been afflicted and hit and wounded. They need you today. So Lord, I pray that we would be ready and prepared.